Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who's better on this show, you or me?
Eunice, meanus, usness, weenus, yournus, minus, ourness, happiness.
Jeff Lutz.
If I had to choose someone to listen to, I'd choose me. But that doesn't mean I'm necessarily that I'm better. It's just that I find myself better.
You know, when I was just about your age, my daddy said, son, there are three things in life I want you to remember. Number one, no matter how stupid the dealer looks, always cut the cards. Number two, don't ever eat yellow snow. And number three, pay as you go, and you will never owe.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's a Tuesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. Jeff Lutz is with me today until 7 o'clock. Well, close to 7 o'clock. We're going to do a little different show for you today. We're going to be on until 6. And then we're going to give way to Chiefs Kingdom. But we're going to use our podcast abilities and give you some segments in the second hour that you can listen to because we have that technology available
to us.
Wow,
that's very charitable of us.
I made that happen today. How about that?
You made it happen?
Well, the technology.
I didn't know that you were part of that.
We got bitten last night with the Minnesota Vikings. I texted you early and said, this team's done. I could just see it. And you said, well, it's early. You got to face the facts, my friend.
Was early.
Sam Darnold was like a deer in the headlights.
What happened to him?
I don't know, but when the going got tough, he didn't show up.
Two games in a row just fell absolutely flat on his face. I thought he'd show up last night, but he did not. Vikings really didn't. Defense really didn't.
And Duda expands his lead in our picks.
Sickening, isn't it?
Has he missed one
all year?
That game meant everything. And he and Max got it right, and you and I got it wrong, and poor Anthony, who's had just he got 0 points this week.
That's like his third or fourth week where he has not finished in the positive.
Yeah, the kid's trying, but it's just not happening.
It hurts when he doesn't write down his picks or think about it in advance. So
he would have got 31 points. 17 for me, 16 for you. Max had a good week. He got 29, but Duda is...
So we're looking at a possible swing of 25 points there. I could have had 36. He could have had 11, and that's just crazy.
Right. That's what that bonus game is. If you got... And I'll give this to Duda. He doesn't hesitate to go for 10.
I know.
And he more often than not gets it right.
He... pretty much always has.
Why didn't he put a lot of money on the games he's picking?
Maybe he has. Maybe that's why he's not here today.
Maybe that's why he lives in such a nice house with
palatial
estate. The amenities.
Could be. I don't know what's going on.
He'll never tell us.
Of course he won't.
We'd love to know how he operates, but we don't seem to be in the loop on that. Today on the show at 5:40 or thereabouts, Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, coming up after 6 o'clock today on the podcast-only portion of the Bob and Jeff Show, available at kfhradio.com, or Max will post it all here on X, Twitter. We'll play a game and have some banter about what's going on in the world of sports.
You should be glad that the game will not go out over the radio airwaves today.
It goes out over the airwaves, just not the radio airwaves.
That's what I believe I said.
I got confused.
Maybe it's not, but maybe it is.
I didn't really understand what you said.
But the game is very difficult. It's not a two-person game. I'm just going to tee it up for you today. And it's no offense to Max, but it's a hard game. And
what are you saying? Max can't compete in a hard game?
I don't think he'd do well in this one, but maybe he will. Maybe we'll throw it at him.
Well, we'll see. We'll get to the game much later in the show. Today we've got Capon and Heights at Capon, a big high school game. Boy, you never count Steve Eck out. He's lost a couple already this year, which is about 10% of the total number of games he's lost in the
just
city.
Just about.
I mean, it's close. It's like...
I know.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It really is.
When Steve Eck loses two games in a season, and you're talking about, well, that's a high percentage of his total losses.
I'm not sure how many they lost last year. Maybe one, but they ended up winning state.
He was 227-15 before he went to Capen. Now, what his records have been at Capen, I can't remember. They've been good.
They have.
His winning percentage hasn't suffered. Let's just put it that way. Until this season. The winning percentage has suffered a little bit because they've lost a couple games.
And they're still defending champs, and they'll still probably be a threat. The state championship will probably go through Capen in 5A in some form.
I got a call from a good friend last night who said unequivocally, if Wichita State makes a change or ever makes a change, Steve Eck should be the guy. I reminded him that those days are gone. Steve Eck is close to 70. He's my age. We both graduated in 1973. The time for Steve Eck, and I wrote about this, and at the time when it was really discussed is after
Randy Smithson after, left.
No.
Before that?
Yeah, it was after Scott Thompson left.
Okay.
And it kind of boiled down to Eck or Smithson. And Smithson won out, and I didn't really begrudge that. I mean, you could make a case. I thought Eck would have been an interesting and better choice. I mean, I wrote that. I'm not going to back off from it now. But I had no problem when they hired Randy Smithson either. But that was the time when Eck had his real, I don't know if it was an opportunity, but people were talking about it.
Was he ever on the staff at WSU? He wasn't.
Was not.
Was he? Yeah.
He was on the staff at UMKC.
That's right. That could have been another avenue for him. Do you want to know Steve Eck's current record?
No, I just want to know his record at Capen. I can do the math.
Well, it's... Well, so I already did the math.
Yeah, I can do it. I don't need I'm not at the point yet in my life where I need help with math.
How about I give you his overall record? You can figure out
his
record.
What's his Capen record?
71-9.
And that includes the two losses this year?
Yes.
Okay, so 298-24.
Yeah, that's right.
See how good I am at math?
Well, I already had it.
Well, yeah, but you're wanting to steal my thunder.
71-9 is pretty good.
So he entered this season with 22 losses. And when I said the two losses are about 10%, right, pretty close, 9%. He's lost about 9% of the total games he's lost in 15 years of coaching in the City League already this season.
Crazy. And another tough one tonight.
298-24. In my opinion, if not the best basketball league in the state, certainly was when he was at South.
No doubt.
Not even close. Whether it is now is debatable, but it's still plenty tough.
Well, and if it is the best league in the state now, it's partly because he's in it.
Right. Well, and Joe Auer.
Right. I said partly.
You got some legends coaching in the league right now.
Right.
And... I guess you could include Dale Faber in that. Although I'm not sure. I'd like to go to dinner with Fabes and talk to him about, is he a City League coaching legend? He's a legend.
Right.
He's a personality legend.
Well, he didn't quite make the mark at Carroll that Eck did it.
No.
South or Joe Auer did it. By the way, I was told that Steve Eck thinks I don't like him.
Well, do you?
I love Steve Eck.
Well, who told you that? Another friend of ours?
Perhaps.
A friend of ours?
Perhaps.
Somebody I know?
Perhaps.
Why are you giving me all the...
I don't know if I want to... I mean, you could probably piece it together.
Does he think I like him?
I assume so. I don't know.
I mean, Coach Eck is a piece of work.
We had a very minor, like the most minor possible... sort of clash a long time ago when he was at Hutch, and I don't carry that with me.
What happened? I don't know. Get into that for me, please.
I think I quoted him saying something he didn't want to have said. And
did he say it?
Yes.
Did he say it was off the record?
No.
Well, that's the end of discussion.
Right.
You can get, you can be upset, but there's, you didn't break any journalistic standards.
No, but he thought that was maybe an agenda on my part. It wasn't, and if even if it was, I
well,
do not.
What was the quote?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
You covered a Blue Dragons game?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that long ago?
At least 15 years ago.
Well, that, okay, that's a long time ago. Who'd they play?
I don't know. Was,
did you cover them at the sports arena?
I feel like it might have been a game at Hartman.
Really? In the region tournament?
Perhaps. That's where it feels like it was.
Well, you look at that. You look at Steve Eck's career, and it started at Jardine Middle School.
Right.
And it then went to South High for 10 years, which I'll still say those are the, what a magical 10-year run they had. Six state titles in 10 years. Are you kidding me? Man, that's just ridiculous.
Amazing.
They lost another one on a half, they lost one of them. I think they were in two other championship games. Lost one of them on a half court shot by Greg Gurley to Shawnee Mission South up at White Auditorium. So he's that close to having seven. Then he went to Redlands. I think I got this right. He went to UMKC for a moment in there somewhere, but I think
he won like two at Redlands, right?
I think he went to Redlands first, and then maybe UMKC, and then Hutch, and then now back to the City League at Cape and Mount Carmel.
That sounds right.
So I would say that when you have the opportunity, now am I going to follow up on this opportunity and go to this game tonight? Probably not, because I'm an old man and I'm I don't know what's gotten into me. But don't waste these opportunities to see Joe Auer coach against Steve Eck, because there's not many more of them left. Joe's retiring at the end of the year.
This is the last one.
Well, no, they play at Heights later.
Oh, I thought this was the second go-around.
No, it's not the second go-around.
Oh, my bad.
Let me handle all
There's
that.
There's two left, then.
Let me handle the details of things, and you just nod, and we'll be fine.
Still pretty early in the season, even though we're in mid-January.
Yeah, they haven't played at Heights yet.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And they will later. But what a coaching matchup. And two guys who have seen a lot in this league. My five, who would be your all-time, you were so young when Eck was at South, at least in the early part of his tenure. If you had to pick an all-city team just from Steve Eck players at South, I'm gonna jot down the obvious ones. Val Barnes, Steve Woodbury, Johnny Murdoch. There's the three obvious ones, right? I think we can all agree that
I think Jamal Walker's right there.
I think we can all, but we all agree those are the three.
And B.J. Williams, that'd probably be my five.
I'm not asking you about that. You're on board with those three.
Fine, and I gave you the other two.
No, it's not. That's not right.
Why?
Because I said so.
Okay. Whoopty.
That's why.
Why isn't it Jamal Walker and B.J. Williams?
I'm gonna need some time to think. They're candidates, but I can't just say yeah. Those are the two.
I feel like those are the two.
I'm not sure.
I feel like those are the two.
I'm going to need some time to think about
Wasn't
it.
Wasn't there like a Mark Eck or a...
Yeah, he's not in that discussion.
I don't remember. I was... Then there you go.
I'm going to need some time to think about it. Okay?
I don't. I'm sure there's plenty of worthy candidates, but I think we've got the five.
Well, we may.
We'll try to do the same thing at Heights. You know,
Joe Auer's coach?
Yeah.
Well, that's Perry Ellis. It's a little tougher.
I'd put T.J. Williams on that group.
Yeah. It's a little tougher at Heights.
It is a little tougher. He's got.
I didn't cover as much Heights as I did South. And when I covered the South years, Joe was only at Heights for a few of those. It was mostly Goose Dowdy. So I'd need to go back and look
at CJ Martin was a really good player.
I'd need to go back and look at some lists.
I understand. He didn't coach. Did he coach Cortez Barnes? Probably not. That was the earlier 90s.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he may have, though.
No, I don't know. There's a lot to choose from.
You know what? He did.
Really? His first year was like 95, 96.
When did Dreifert graduate from Heights?
I think he was on the first baseball team, so like 94.
Oh, there you go. After the first break, I'm going to do a little research, and I'll come back with my all-time.
Don't just try to be different from me for the sake of it.
I'm not saying those are bad picks. I'm just saying that I feel like we're missing an obvious one.
Maybe we are.
I got to go back, and I need a little help.
Okay, well, good luck.
I know that Barnes, Woodbury, and Murdoch are no-brainers.
B.J. Williams is pretty close to a no-brainer.
Could be. Could be.
Jamal Walker was a really good Division I player.
I'm not going to put either of them on yet.
Okay.
I'm going to take a look at a couple things.
All right. Well, good luck.
Make sure.
Let me know how it goes.
One of Beck's very first players at South was Marcus Ziegler. And he played at K-State. And he was really, really good. So that's a guy I'm thinking about.
And Heights also had a Marcus Ziegler.
Well, that's fine. It's his son.
I know. And
you're aware of that.
And he had a good run at Heights, too.
You're aware of that.
Playing for Joe Auer.
Right. I know that.
Okay.
All these names are going through my head, and I'm struggling to put it all together, frankly.
Well, throw some names out there.
I'll do it after the break.
All right.
Okay?
There's got to be a list of All-State players somewhere.
Kevin Saul coming up at 5:40. I look forward to our discussion with Kevin. Under difficult circumstances, you know, we've had Kevin on before when things weren't going well, but things are not going well. And we'll get his thoughts on what Wichita State basketball can do moving forward. We talk mostly about the men, but the women haven't taken off either. And we're in year two.
Correct.
And I don't know what that means. Okay. I don't know what that means. Year two. Does year two have more dire circumstances?
Well, if year two led in some way to year three, then we could have that discussion, but it doesn't. Year two is going to be a completely separate entity from year three. The roster will be different. Everything will be different. So you can't really say, we got to give him time, because the time is now, always.
Well, that's the way of the world right now. I'm curious to know if they think this way of team building is a failure. This let's go to the portal and get a bunch of older veterans and they'll be ready to go. Does that work? I don't know. The evidence seems to indicate that it doesn't.
I was told by a fairly reliable source.
Who's talking to you all the time? Who are these people?
I was told by a fairly reliable source that the Shockers are going to try to slow things down, try to commit less turnovers, play a slower game. And
who's your source?
Decrease the number of possessions.
Are you going to divulge your source?
I don't think I can.
Well, that's just who was the didn't you have another source for a discussion earlier?
Yeah.
They told you what? That Steve Eck doesn't like you?
I thought I didn't like him. But I love Steve Eck.
All right, Max, it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll unveil that all-time Steve Eck South team, at least mine. Jeff's already done his. You agree on these three? Barnes, Woodbury.
I'm not going to turn any of those down.
Murdoch.
I want all three of those guys on my team.
B.J. Williams, Jamal Walker. That's your team.
That's my team.
That's your Steve Eck all-time South team. I'll have mine after the break. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Stephen Curry of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. You're listening to another pair of champions. My guys Bob and Jeff on KFH Radio, Wichita.
It's Big, the musical theme, Big Black Horse and a Cherry Tree by KT Tunsil. Thanks to Steph Curry for continuing to support our efforts here on the Bob and Jeff Show as we support his efforts out in the Bay Area.
We do?
Right? I am feeling it since Saturday.
What do you mean since Saturday?
You know what happened Saturday.
Since singing? My God.
I got up there and man, judging from what you read on the social media, you'd think Paul McCartney got up there.
Well, you have like 5,000 friends, about 70 commented. So you have 4,930 who didn't care for it, apparently.
Is that what you tell yourself?
Yeah.
It's okay. You're never going to give me any credit. That's okay. I'm not looking for it.
I almost told you what my wife said, but I'm not going to do that.
What did she say?
Something about
verbatim.
He's not very good or...
Say it verbatim.
You're better.
What did she say?
He could carry a tune.
And what'd you say?
Not really.
Really?
I didn't say anything. I said, fine, whatever.
Why not let her have her opinion?
She did.
Didn't she know that from our early days karaokeing? I remember her in the audience at the Maggie's Scotch and Soda back in the day.
Really? No, that wasn't her.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was her.
No, I've only sang karaoke there once, and she was not there.
She was there.
She wasn't.
She was there. I guarantee it. My wife
maybe Quincy's.
No, it was Maggie's Scotch and Soda.
I don't think so.
I had a memory like a
steel
trap.
Dude, I've only sang there once.
And don't use the word dude.
And that was pre-Shannon.
No, you sang there after Shannon.
Not that I remember. I'll ask her.
It was Debbie's 50th birthday party. How long have you been with Shannon now?
13
okay, well, that
plus
would, that
years.
That would play. We went from Side Pockets to Maggie's Scotch and Soda. And sang karaoke for
I don't think
bit.
I went to Mag.
And you
I don't,
did.
And I don't think we were at Side Pockets.
You did.
We were at that other place.
No.
Where were we?
Her 50th birthday party was at Side Pockets.
No.
What do you mean, no?
It wasn't.
Of course it was.
Mm-mm.
I arranged it.
It was somewhere where there was a basketball game on.
Oh, yeah, that couldn't have been a Side Pocket.
It was Celtics.
They only have 400 TVs there.
It was Celtics.
I think they were showing
Cavs.
Ballet that night.
No, it was on a smaller TV. It was, well, it might have been Side Pockets.
Right, and then
I don't know that it was.
And then we went to Maggie's Scotch and Soda.
I don't think I partook.
And sang karaoke.
I'm going to text my wife.
Well, do.
Because if, you know. We can't get it cleared up as quickly as maybe we could have in the past.
No, we're just text her. How much do you want to bet? No, bet.
$5. I feel like we sat, I don't know, I feel like it was maybe Outback. Where did we go? Because it was not
no,
Side
Pockets. I went to Outback, and that's where I proposed to my wife.
Don't admit that. Max, edit that out.
We had a big dinner and a bunch of our friends. Were you there for that?
Maybe.
That was wonderful.
Man, I'd like to remember where we were.
Well, I do remember.
I feel like it was Outback.
That was for my
But why would there be a TV there? I was there for that.
We went to Side Pockets to celebrate Debbie's 50th birthday. And then afterward, when I still had some energy and was able to do some things like this, I mean, we're talking 13 years ago. Plus, you know, I was only I was a young man at that time.
Yeah, that was when LeBron didn't play well against the Celtics in Game 7, and they lost.
Well, I don't care about that. I just know that I sang at Maggie's Scotch and Soda.
Okay.
Which was owned by your friend and my acquaintance, City Commissioner Maggie Ballard, who's...
She's City Council.
City Council, whatever they
are. And she's no longer our vice mayor.
What happened there?
I don't know.
Who got the vice mayor spot?
Johnston? Johnson?
J.V. Johnson, another... I know all those people.
You should.
What do you mean I should?
Well, you work closely with the city of Wichita.
Yeah, but I know these people. I just know these people. In my just being a part of the community.
In our everyday goings on.
So last night the Rams in Glendale take control of that game from early on. Matthew Stafford played well. They didn't necessarily have to play that well. To beat a Vikings team. Where do you go if you're the Vikings? You can't bring Sam Darnold.
No, you go to J.J. McCarthy and hope that...
But you got to bring in a veteran, too.
They have Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you got to bring in a veteran, too.
Well, they can't just... No, they're going to go with McCarthy, and that's going to be their guy.
Yeah, but you got to have a guy, another guy.
No, you don't.
In case McCarthy.
Well, that's why you have Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but he's not the guy.
He's not... He's a backup. That's what Daniel Jones is.
You might need somebody to start. J.J. McCarthy's coming back from injury. I don't know. I was listening to the shows today. They're not sure he's going to be ready. And I don't want to put Daniel Jones out there. The Vikings will go get somebody.
No, they won't.
Not a game changer. They'll go get somebody.
Well, then they just should play to Sam Darnold.
They're not going to spend the money.
They're not going to find anybody better.
They're not going to spend the money on Sam Darnold.
Okay, well, then they'll be worse.
J.J. McCarthy's their quarterback of the future. There's no need to bridge that now with Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold hadn't completely collapsed in the last two games he played, maybe.
Well, why not just franchise him? Give him 1 year?
We don't want him.
Then you're making no sense.
He's the worst guy you could possibly
bring in a veteran, but not the veteran who just gave
you
14 wins.
Possibly,
but don't go
back
to your rookie. But don't also use your veteran backup.
There's no way they're bringing back Sam Darnold.
Then who are they going to play at quarterback?
I don't know. They'll find somebody to bridge the gap.
There's nobody out there. You don't just like, hey, we want this guy. He plays for us now. Like you have to actually make a transaction.
You watch. All right, Max, let's do take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Wichita State Athletics with the athletic director, Kevin Saul. This is how bad it's gotten, at least for me. Charlotte's in tomorrow night, correct?
No, tonight.
Tonight.
Yes.
See? This is bad. I used to know this like the back of my hand. Charlotte is in town to face the Shockers tonight at
Correct.
Coke Arena. How many people are like me that don't know that?
I don't know. Hopefully, if they're listening to the show, they know it.
I should know it. No excuse. Back in a minute. Here's Kevin Saul, the athletic director at Wichita State University. Shockers at home tonight. Men's basketball to face Charlotte, American Athletic Conference game. Kevin, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Appreciate being on the show. Congrats on the new the time and schedule change. I assume that's a positive.
Yeah, everything's a positive in my life, Kevin. I'm Mr. Positive, so thank you for that.
Great to hear.
You know, we like having you on in good circumstances, but we're obligated to talk to you today about Wichita State men's basketball is not where anyone thought it would be. I'm in that club because when I watched this team early, I thought to myself, okay, they've got some firepower. They look pretty good. I could see this team doing some things. We're still at only January 14th, but right now they're off to an 0-3 start in the American and have not played well, certainly not defended well. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question, guys, and I think we could probably chat for a little while about this, but I'll give you certainly my thoughts, and I appreciate the opportunity to share. As you know, we've got 30 to 31 games in a season, right? And I think we're called to be steady in the storm. Certainly, we're not where any of our coaches or players want to be right now, starting off the league 0-3. And as a program, I think we've got to evaluate. The last 3 years, guys, we started the league 0-3, 0-6, 0-3, 0-5, and 0-3. So we certainly have to evaluate why is that occurring, and certainly address that. And it would be disingenuous for us to sit here and say that this is acceptable internally within our program or externally. But what I can tell you is we can't afford to get too high or too low, right? We have to keep going. Otherwise, we lose time and opportunities to get better. So I think I don't want to get too deep or philosophical, but at the end of the day, I think our society, the influencers in our society, have a tendency to succumb to hyperbole. That was the greatest win in 21 years, was said after the K-State win, or that was the worst loss in decades, which has been said as well. I think at the same time, we tend to avoid highlighting some of the positives that have occurred as well, right? We said after the Friends game, I think we finished 10-3 in non-conference play, which was our highest win total in 5 years. Certainly not something we're going to blow the roof off of, because we've seen a whole lot better than that, and we expect better than that. But that's a positive data point that for whatever reason is not out there in the mainstream media or within our society as well. And so I think it's important just to remain steady in the storm. We've got to obviously focus on what we need to do to get better. We freely accept the criticism, knowing it and a lack of balanced positive feedback, for that matter, is part of the job. But we can't allow it to steal time away from planning, preparation, execution, evaluation, all those developmental things. So I certainly respect and truly, genuinely, I respect and appreciate that there may be some in our community that may choose to bury us. There may be some that want to write us off, consider us an afterthought, or promote apathy around the program. But it's our charge to proceed on with great energy, great effort, enthusiasm, and joy. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be steady in the storm and keep trying to get better every single day.
This might only be a thing to me, but Paul Mills not appearing for the post-game chat with Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull after the game in San Antonio, is that something that should matter to fans, that he wasn't there to give a message to them after that game, or are the coaches' shows sufficient for that? How do you feel about that as an athletic director and as a leader?
Well, certainly, Jeff, those are normal circumstances under normal and standard times. And I think the question of should it matter, you know, I would turn that around. And I think from your perspective, Jeff, it probably should. And it does matter, and it matters for our program as well. I would submit to you respectfully to consider that communication was done well in that particular instance, so there were no great surprises in terms of what was happening, but there were more important and more critical things going on in the locker room at that particular time.
Kevin Saul with us from Wichita State Athletics. Listen, I am a reactionary person. I'm a media person. I try to be fair. I have used the word afterthought, and I own that, and I see what's going on. I've been around Shocker basketball since I was 7 years old. Let me ask you this, Kevin, about the current structure of college athletics with the NIL and the transfer portal. It appeared that the philosophy was to go out and get what the coaching staff thought was proven older players and try to get them to mix in here at Wichita State. And I'm still, again, not saying that that won't happen. We're only 3 games into the conference season. But do you constantly evaluate the right way to approach the transfer portal? And how do you settle on the right way to approach the transfer portal when so many programs are out there trying to do it?
Bob, to answer your first question, yes, evaluation is constant. We are constantly being evaluated, either by ourselves, by others, by other teams, opponents, whatever the case may be. I think the way to improve individual program or collection of athletics program is to maintain coachable spirits and understand that evaluation is part of it, right? Evaluation feeds into planning and preparation, which feeds into execution, which feeds into evaluation. And it's really, that's what it's about. And so whether it's competing or navigating the portal, I think that evaluation is critically important. We can paint with really broad brushes, but obviously there's going to be some outliers to every single one of these statements. Generally, older clubs perform better. And time will tell if that's the case with this particular team or this particular season and a collection of teams that might be older. We see success in NCAA tournaments with older clubs. We see success in regular seasons with older clubs. And so that's what the portal gives you an opportunity to do is to be able to get some older guys. I will share with you that from a retention standpoint, we've talked about this before, the average team in our league flipped 8 spots. We flipped 3. From a valuation perspective, what is the answer? Are you better off flipping more spots? Or does continuity, roster continuity, and experience play a factor? And I would tell you that I think all is worth the evaluation. And ultimately, you've got to develop a philosophy and move forward with that philosophy and not second guess yourself. So there's still time, obviously, for the formula to be evaluated. And we certainly will. But we're focused day in and day out right now on getting better as a team.
I was a little bit taken aback in Taylor Eldridge's story following the past weekend's game, when a few players were quoted as saying, we got to get guys to care. And I realize that's, you know, emotions after a game where people are feeling down, and I get all that. What opportunities do you see for buy-in as this season continues? What messages are out there that are particularly strong from the coaching staff, from leaders on the team as players, and can maybe get this thing turned around from an emotional standpoint?
Yeah, Jeff, I appreciate that question. I think care means different things to different people. Not to convolute or dilute it, but at the end of the day, caring about the things that contribute to winning basketball, right? And there are varying levels of that. There is not one person in that locker room, in that scouting room, in that film room. There's not one person. And I have attended for 2 or 3 consecutive weeks. I've attended the 2-hour post-game film review, and I've attended the 1-hour pre-game scouts and the 4 occasions that we're reviewing personnel for an upcoming opponent. There's not one individual in that room that doesn't care. There's not one individual in that room that doesn't want to win. It is truly understanding how to attack the game and how to win. I'll give you an example, guys. When you look at the last 3 games, we are incredibly high in the percentage of productivity with after timeouts, ATOs, with sideline OBs, baseline OBs. Those are all considered special teams. We have won the special teams this year an overwhelming amount of times as compared to not winning the special teams. We are scoring, right? At the end of the day, when you score 80 points, that's enough to win a basketball game. You score 75 points, that's enough to win a basketball game. For us, it's understanding schematically and the effort, the heart, the intensity, the urgency, that it takes to play winning defensive basketball, and that's what we're focused on.
Talking with Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletics, I think one of the very first times you were on the show, I remarked about, boy, you're inheriting a challenging situation with everything that's gone on, and the fact that so much of Wichita State Athletics, fairly or unfairly, is driven by men's basketball. You're into this job now quite a ways. Tell me about the challenges. How difficult is it? Because you picked the coach you thought was the right guy, and he still may very well turn out to be that in Paul Mills. Certainly an impressive list of credentials. But the world, as we again talked about many times, the world of college athletics has changed dramatically just since you've been at Wichita State. How challenging is it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. I would think if you talk to any one of the 361 Division I athletic directors across the country, I think they would all say that there are great challenges and there are great rewards in the job. At the end of the day, it is a challenging environment, but I truly believe that our significance and purpose is found in those challenges, that we're placed in positions at places in particular moments in time based on the blessings that and the gifts that we have to try and navigate people and organizations through that. So I don't look at it as much as challenges as maybe as I do opportunities. And we have tremendous opportunity in front of us. And we've got to approach those this navigating these challenges, these opportunities, with great enthusiasm, with great joy, with appreciation for the opportunity to work at in a pretty challenging profession. And to be able to develop young people and use athletics as a really unique classroom to develop young people for the rest of their lives. And ultimately, that's what all of this is about. And every university has its assets, and every university has its challenges, and institutions rise and fall with leadership. And so that's what we're focused on, is leading an athletics program forward. Our president is focused on leading the university forward, and our basketball coach is focused on leading the basketball program forward. And we're trying to do that together in a complementary fashion. So, yes, it is a challenging environment, but I don't know that anything that's worthwhile in accomplishing comes without challenge. And true growth comes in moments of discomfort, and we've got to get comfortable being uncomfortable if we're going to grow this program into a different spot.
Well, we appreciate your time as always. We could talk about this all day, and I'm not sure we'd ever come to a real resolution. It's just a brand new world, and hopefully the Shockers will figure out how to navigate this and get back on the winning track starting tonight at home against Charlotte. Kevin, thank you.
Bob, there's nothing more than we want than that. So I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show in good times and in our struggles. So thank you both very much.
All right, we'll talk Thanks. To you soon. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. He used the words apathy and afterthought, which I've used recently in tweets, to describe Wichita State. I often think of what would I be writing if I was a columnist, and when he talked about we're trying to form good people, and you know, I mean, I get that, and that's certainly part of it. But when you only have these players for a year, how much is that really possible?
It's tough.
You know, you're not. I just think the whole thing's out of whack, man. The whole thing's different. And if this is how it's going to be moving forward, if each year you got to figure out how we're going to put a team on the floor that can compete and win, and the program building is out the door, we can't really do that anymore, because if we try to build a program and we're successful, those kids, those players, those young players could very easily leave us. So what do you do? This is a question that I'll forever have, and while I appreciate Kevin Saul's positivity, I'd probably fight back on some of the things that are said. That's
there
just
me. I didn't think he like was delusional or anything. He's
not delusional.
His best foot
he's
forward.
He's not delusional at all. He is the face of Shocker Athletics. And if he's not saying the things he's saying, then there could be a sense of, hey, what's going on here? He's trying to calm the waters. I'm out here stirring the waters. He's trying to calm the waters I'm stirring.
It's all good, man.
Not just me. You understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Collectively, there's a lot of disgruntled Shocker fans. There is a little bit of, what have you done lately?
Guess that's the end of the on-air show today on the radio.
We appreciate it. We'll continue, podcast only. Jeff will have a game. You can listen to that on the website, kfhradio.com, or here on Twitter, where Max will post the complete show for you, as he does every day. The Bob and Jeff Show here as we muddle through a Tuesday. Kevin Saul joined us in hour number one. We're offering you some bonus content with a little game we're going to do on our Bob and Jeff podcast at kfhradio.com. You already know that if you're listening. Max, it is
time to play the game. Time to play the game.
You can't let a Tuesday go by without a game. And Jeff has indicated that this is a really difficult one.
A very difficult game.
And he doesn't think I'll do well, and he's already told Max to check out of it.
Yeah, I don't think...
Max get to make that choice?
Max, this is a game... No, I don't want him to play.
Do you want...
It's too hard.
Well, let's go for it, and if I struggle... Let's say I struggle. I'll bring Max in to see if he can pick up the piece.
That works. All right, we're going to go.
What's the name of the game?
I don't know. I don't really have a name for it. Mostly, we're going to go players who have been active career leaders in categories in Major League Baseball over the last 50 years. Okay? But first, we're going to go back 50 years. I want you to tell me everyone in the last 50 years who has held the career saves lead in Major League Baseball. The
career saves lead.
There are six players in the last 50 years who have been the career leader in saves.
In the last 50 years?
Yeah. How many of those can you name? I think you should get three. You should easily get three. The other three might be
Mariano
difficult.
Mariano Rivera.
Correct.
Trevor Hoffman.
Correct.
Gosh, who's the current? I think it's still Mariano Rivera.
It is.
Career leader.
Yeah.
Lee Smith.
Correct. Those are the last three.
But who did Lee Smith take that from?
He only had it for a year.
Oh, my goodness. Now it's getting hard.
That's what I'm telling you.
Last 50 years.
Yes. Because the save, I don't even know if it's been a stat. It's been a stat for around 50 years.
Yeah.
But they went back and...
I don't think... Oh, gosh, I'm wanting to say his name so badly because I love him.
It's not him.
It's not?
No.
How do you know?
Because it's not.
Well, doggone it. How did you know who I was going to say?
Because he's a Cardinal.
Maybe I wasn't going to say Bruce Sutter.
But he only had 300, and he was never the career leader. Only 300. He's a Hall of Famer.
Boy, this is hard. Can you give me a team?
This guy probably mostly known as a Twin, I guess. Maybe the Cubs.
What?
Yeah, he was a relief. He was a guy, but he was overshadowed. He had the career saves lead for a year, and then he was kind of in the middle of those like long relief specialists and one inning guys. He was kind of in the middle of all that, so he doesn't get his historical recognition.
What's his first name start with?
It's the same as mine.
Oh, Jeff Reardon.
Yeah. Then you have one of the first, like, legit closers.
What's his first name start with?
R.
What team?
Oakland, the A's.
Oh, Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, and then you have, like, the first relief specialist.
Hoyt Wilhelm.
Yeah, that's correct.
Not bad.
Not bad. How about this one?
Jeff Reardon. That's hard to believe that he was once the career saves.
Isn't that crazy? But he got caught.
Had a great beard.
It was nice.
Ah, filled in there beautifully.
Over the last 50 years, who are the players who have been the active career leaders? So they obviously would have had to have been playing at the time in games played at catcher.
Games played at catcher.
Yes.
Fred Rodriguez.
Yes.
What's the question again? These are the 10 active...
These are the players of the last 50 years who were at one time the active career leaders in games at catcher.
Okay.
There's 11 of them.
Well, this is hard.
Yeah, you got to think
over
about...
50 years?
Yeah, you got to think about guys who caught for a long time.
Right, that's what I'm thinking about. Johnny Bench.
Correct.
Yogi Berra. No, that's too...
Not in the last 50.
Gosh almighty, how old am I?
This one's tough. There's some...
Let me think here.
They're all names you know, but...
Carlton Fisk.
Correct.
Yadier Molina.
Correct. Who took it from him? Who's the active...
I don't know.
Who's the active leader?
The active leader in games caught?
Yeah.
Well, I have to think about it for a minute. What team? Or what, first name, initial?
S.
S?
Yeah. Pretty well known around these parts.
Oh, Salvi.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Give me another hint.
You have a guy who played for the Cardinals, not most known as a Cardinal, but played for him, managed around these parts. Two guys who managed around these parts.
My man, Daryl Porter?
No.
Well, he didn't manage. Hold on a second. Let me think about that for a second. Mike Matheny?
No.
Give me the first initial.
B and T.
Tom Pagnozzi?
You're good on the initials. TP.
For the Cardinals?
He played for the Cardinals. More known as a Pirate.
Huh?
Managed the Royals.
TP.
Yeah.
Give me the first name.
Tony.
Oh, Tony Pena.
Yeah.
Barely played for the Cardinals, but I loved it when they got him. Number 26. You know how I do that game. You never give me that game.
Well, because that's not a...
Because you know I'm going to look good.
That's not a challenge. We want challenges.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be a challenge for most people? Don't you consider that to be...
Yeah, but if it's just something you know, who cares?
But why do you think I know it?
That doesn't make you think.
Why do you think I know it?
Because you committed it to memory.
Who's the other guy?
Former Royals manager and player.
And former Cardinal?
No, he didn't play for the Cardinals. He played for the Phillies, mostly.
Oh, Jim Sundberg.
No.
Give me the first letter.
BB, or is his initials.
Bruce Bochy. Who is it?
Managed the Royals.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of it.
Bob Boone?
Oh, number 8. See?
I'll take your word for it.
Unbelievable.
Oh, just incredible.
No, that is unbelievable.
I believe you.
All right, what's the next question?
Well, you missed Bill Freehan.
That's not 50 years.
Yeah, he was the active career leader in 1975.
Who else?
Ted Simmons, Benito Santiago, AJ Przinski. They were the other ones.
I should have gotten AJ Przinski.
How about this? There are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 players, pitchers, who have been the active career leader in wins over the last 50 years.
Over the last 50 years.
Yes.
Really?
16.
Greg Maddux.
Correct.
Over 50 years.
Yes.
Steve Carlton.
That is correct.
Let me think about this for a second. 50 years.
Yeah.
The active career leader. So the person who's active right now may not have 300 wins.
Right.
But they're the active career leader.
Right.
Justin Verlander.
Correct.
I don't think this guy was ever the active career. CC Sabathia.
Correct.
Goodness,
Verlander took it from him. Who did Sabathia take?
That's a great question. What team?
Every team, basically. But well known as a Met.
Well known as a Met.
Won a Cy Young.
David Cone.
Won a Cy Young with the Angels.
Was David Cone on that list?
He was not.
Won a Cy Young with the Angels.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of anything?
Played for everybody.
Pitched forever. First letter of the first name.
B.
B? Yeah. Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, that's correct. Can you name any more?
I'm not sure I can. Give me a hint.
Well, he won a lot of games, struck out a lot of people.
Give me Randy Johnson, the big unit.
He's on it.
I would say that is Curt Schilling on it?
He's not.
Are there any Cardinals on it?
Yeah, you said Carlton. There's another pretty prominent Cardinal on the list.
Over the last 50 years.
Who was the active career leader in 1975?
Bob Gibson.
Yes.
That does my heart good to say that man's name. You know that?
I'm sure it does.
Number 45, by the way, in case.
I think we knew that one.
In case you're wondering. That's who else? Are there any Guardians?
Not.
They haven't.
Well, Sebastian Colon. But, yeah, there was a guy pitched for the Indians in the mid-90s. Another guy who pitched forever. Had a nice little nickname out of Nicaragua.
Give me the first letter of the first name.
D.
D?
Yeah.
First letter of the last
name. M.
I have no clue who
Long time Expo.
Oh, Dennis Martinez.
Yeah.
What'd they call him?
El Presidente.
El Presidente. That's all I got.
You have Jim Cott, who took it from Gibson.
Well, Jim Cott was pitched forever.
He did. Gaylord Perry was the active leader. Jack Morris, Roger Clemens, Jamie Moyer, Andy Pettit.
Jamie Moyer?
Tim Hudson. Yeah. Where do you want to go next?
Well, I don't care. We got time for a couple more.
All right. There's a bunch of these. Active career leader in hits over the last 50 years.
Rose.
Yes.
Active career leader in hits. Well, Rose was the active career leader in hits for a while.
There's 21 of these players.
My gosh. Tony Gwynn.
Yes.
Active career leader in hits.
Over the last 50 years. Who do you think is the current leader in hits? Active.
The current leader in hits.
Also the active career leader in RBIs.
Would probably be. What's the first letter of the first name?
F. Not a guy you think of as past his prime in any stretch.
F?
F.
F-F. F-F?
Are his initials. Played a pretty prominent role in this season.
Oh, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about active career leader in hits?
At any time over the last 50 years. Who do you think Pete Rose took it from?
Albert Pujols.
Well, no, but yes.
No, I didn't think he took it from...
I know.
Pete Rose took it from Ty Cobb.
No, he took the career lead in hits from Ty Cobb. Who'd he take the active career lead
team.
In?
Team.
Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, Paul Molitor. I'm done with it.
No.
I'm losing it.
Robin Yount was one.
Paul Molitor, too.
No, he was not.
You're kidding.
No.
That's a flawed game.
Who in Milwaukee had a lot of hits before Pete Rose?
Well, all those guys I just said.
Before Pete Rose.
Hank Aaron.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. How many right guesses can we have?
Couple contact first baseman of the 70s and 80s. No, come on.
First initial.
We have a SG and a BB.
Steve Garvey.
Yes.
And Billy Buckner.
That's correct. We have another guy who was pretty popular around these parts.
What position did he play?
He played third and then he played first.
George Brett.
Yes.
When did he play first?
At the end of his career.
Yeah, not very much.
And then we have several Hall of Famers in a row.
Yeah, I don't want to get into all that.
Before Pujols.
I don't want to get into all that.
Paul Molitor was correct.
Right, exactly.
Just missed him on my list, but, you know.
All right.
Is that it?
On the radio show tomorrow, it will be Jeff and Duda. We hope you'll tune in. I'm going to be taking a little day off. I'll be back on Thursday. We'll have the three-man booth coming up on Thursday.
We look forward to that. Let me just ask you the active leaders in these categories.
Okay, got it.
Games pitched.
Games pitched, no clue.
Kenley Jansen.
Makes sense.
Strikeouts as a batter.
No clue.
Giancarlo Stanton. Stolen bases, impossible.
No clue.
Starling Marte.
Okay.
Triples.
No clue.
Charlie Blackmon.
Just give the quit asking me. All right, that's it. We've come to the end. Thank you all. Have a very good Tuesday evening. We'll see you soon.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.